I have another prayer written here that I'm going to read to you, but if it's helpful for you, feel free to close your eyes or bow your heads or whatever it is comfortable. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for the way your grace works in my life. Thank you, God, for my health. May I always abide within your love, and may I always follow in your ways. For I am faithful in the way that I serve you. I read my Bible every day, Lord, and I pray to you every day. I offer to you what is required, and you know that I am honest and good. You know my heart. You know that I am not like other people. I have a good family, and we gather around the table and offer you thanks, not like those others who do not appreciate you. And like others, we worship you as only is appropriate. Amen. So if you're feeling uncomfortable right now, you should be. The prayer starts off well enough. A prayer of thanksgiving and praise, though perhaps a little self-centered, a little too inward focused. And it quickly moves into territory which is perhaps a little suspect, which we're a little uncomfortable with. It moves from a prayer which praises God and turns into a prayer which celebrates the individual who's making the prayer. And we see this at work in our parable today from Luke's Gospel, don't we? Now, in many ways, it's a continuation from last week's parable about the unjust judge and the widower. Once again, we are looking at prayer. However, this is not just a parable about prayer, is it? We see the theme of humility being played out as well. In fact, from the get-go this morning, Jesus lets us know who this message is for. We should pay very close attention to the opening sentence of our passage today. We read, Jesus also told this parable to people who were sure of their own goodness and despised everybody else. The New Revised Standard Version translates it as, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Jesus is speaking to a very specific audience. No doubt he's surrounded by a large group of people. No doubt the disciples are nearby. But he is turning towards a specific number of individuals who were present there that day. People who were sure of their own goodness. So this is a parable about prayer, about humility, and where you place your trust. And if Jesus is unapologetically pointing out individuals who trust in themselves as the audience of the parable, it begs the question, well, if that's who he's pointing out, then who should we be putting our trust in? And make no mistake, when I'm not pointing at any one of you, okay? It's okay, relax. But who should we be putting our trust in? Of course, the answer to that is God. God is the one in whom we should place our trust. Parable begins then by highlighting individuals who trust in themselves and not God. And if we skip the whole parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we just go to the end, we have a sentence that begins of those who trusted in their own righteousness and despised everyone else, and it ends by saying, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so where do we place our trust? a reminder that the values of the kingdom of God are not the values that we find in the world around us. In God's kingdom, it's the humble who are lifted up. God loves us no matter what we do, but God is interested in honest reflection and humble confession. God's mercy is a free gift, but the values of the kingdom of God are grounded in humility and honest reflection, recognition that we need God in our lives. The bulletin had already gone and was printed before I finished the sermon, but if I could go back, I would just change the prayer of adoration and confession to, O Holy One, we come before you on bended knee with praise and love and on our lips and love in our hearts. Thank you for your many mercies. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. I would have just echoed the prayer of the tax collector, but I wasn't quite quick enough. And what we recognize as well in the act of humility is that it isn't just about us. You may have heard the phrase or the question, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And that's important, if perhaps an oversimplification of the relationship. And we need to remember that we don't have an exclusive relationship with Jesus. God isn't just your creator. God is everyone's creator. And this is what the Pharisee seems to forget. In elevating himself over others that he lists, he thinks that he is putting himself at the front of the line. His attitude of superiority doesn't generate a desire to help. Rather, it actually creates a barrier, doesn't it, between the Pharisee and the tax collector. And God doesn't want barriers between us. God would rather have us work together through humility, with understanding, knowing that each of us is loved equally by God. And when we view the other, and the other is anyone who isn't you, through that light, it becomes a lot easier to help. Of course, the Pharisee has a real problem with confession, doesn't he? And this goes back to that setup that Jesus prepared for us. The Pharisee is only concerned about his own justification. He feels vindicated through his own pious actions, that what he has done is correct. But further than that, the Pharisee is the one who has done it. There is no reliance or trust in God on the part of the Pharisee. If we had to list his sin, because he certainly doesn't, he doesn't confess to any sin, we might say he suffers from the sin of pride. But what the Pharisee really lacks is an understanding towards the heart of God. By trusting in only himself, the Pharisee forgets that God is the source of mercy. God is the source of justice, and God is the source of righteousness. We can't be righteous without God. And then there's the tax collector. Have mercy on me, a sinner. But no specific sin is mentioned. However, commentator, Laura Sugg notes, our comfort with the idea that we are all sinful does not translate into the wish to hear in detail about any particular sin. If I asked you to start naming your sins out loud in public, we would be met with deafening silence. We all know we sin, but it's something that we keep between ourselves and God. The Pharisee doesn't name any sins either. As I've mentioned, he doesn't even confess to sinning. Instead, he just boasts at his good deeds. And the tax collector, though, he submits before God and confesses that he is a sinner. There's a clear difference between the way the two individuals present themselves before God. And Jesus is clear about which posture God prefers. God prefers humility. Not because God seeks to degrade us or humiliate us. No, God is interested in a genuine relationship with us. But that relationship can't be achieved if we are constantly puffing our chests out and saying, "Look at me, look what I've done." It just doesn't work. As C.S. Lewis writes, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. You should think well of yourself. You should be proud of the things that you've done. However, you shouldn't cause the dignity of others around you to suffer because of your accomplishments. Don't boast. And this is where the Pharisee does stumble, doesn't he? The problem isn't his lack of devotion to God. The Pharisee is doing everything right in being pious and praying and tithing. It's not his lack of ability to pray. The problem is the Pharisee's inability to recognize his dependence on God and his need to elevate himself above everyone else. Confessing our sin and walking in humbleness does not mean that we pity ourselves or that we loathe ourselves. We admit what we have done wrong. And in doing so, we free ourselves from its power and we affirm God's love for us. Recognizing that our sinful behavior is hurtful towards God and others, we seek to live better lives. So we pray to God with humility. We pray not trusting in our own righteousness, but in God's perfect mercy. We do not exalt ourselves above others, but instead we humbly confess and ask God for mercy, for we are all sinners. Amen.